Earlier this month, we marked the centenary of Australia's entry into the First World War. Today, we mark another related anniversary. On the 13th of August, 1914, 9 days after the outbreak of the war, the Red Cross established its roots in Australia. And it's been an integral part of Australian society ever since, providing assistance through wars, disasters and humanitarian crises. To tell us more about the Red Cross and its history, we're joined now by Professor Melanie Oppenheimer from Flinders University, who's written a history called The Power of Humanity, 100 Years of Australian Red Cross. Melanie, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
Melanie, you're joining us this morning from Melbourne. You're about to head to the ballroom at Government House, which has a significance in terms of a place for the Red Cross. Tell us about that.
Well, 100 years ago today, Lady Helen Munro Ferguson, who was the wife of the current Governor-General, called together leading citizens of Melbourne to form the Australian branch of the British Red Cross Society.
The Red Cross in 1914 had already existed for 50 years or so in Europe. So what was the role of Lady Helen Munro Ferguson in bringing the organisation to Australia, and what propelled her to do it? Do we know that?
Well, look, it's a really interesting question. It was one of the things that when I set out to research the book, I've wanted to kind of see, like, why then, you know, why that particular flashpoint? Because the organisation had been established for so long elsewhere, and particularly also in other parts of the British Empire. So it was a little bit unusual, and it's really two things. There had been efforts to form Red Cross branches and things during the Boer War, for example, at the turn of the 20th century, but it took two things, the outbreak of World War I, and also Lady Helen Munro Ferguson herself, because she arrived in Australia as the wife of the Governor-General, but she also brought with her a deep knowledge of Red Cross in Scotland, because she had been part of the formation of the Scottish branch of the British Red Cross Society in earlier in 1909. So she threw herself into the Red Cross and what it could do in Scotland. So when she arrives in Australia, the war breaks out, she just jumps into action. She knows exactly what to do.
And what she does is she gathers the other governors' wives and gets them to lead the push too.
Yes.
And then suddenly there is a battalion of volunteers working to help in the First World War. What did those Red Cross workers do in World War One, and how quickly did it expand?
Look, it just exploded, Fran. It really is quite a curious phenomenon in one sense. So there must have been all this sort of pent-up emotion of wanting to sort of assist in this way. Lady Helen saw it as women's work, and you have Australians across the country, from little small tiny towns right through to the suburbs of the cities, women coming together and forming Red Cross branches.
And what were they doing?
Well, they're doing a range of things. They're
knitting socks?
Plenty of knitting of socks, but they did some. They made pyjamas. The thing is that we forget that during that time, the military didn't really provide a lot of things. They're looking after the sick and wounded soldiers, convalescent soldiers, soldiers in hospitals, soldiers that are wounded. So the hospital didn't provide these sorts of things, bandages, pillow slips and pyjamas. So the men would come in off the battlefield, the nurses would have to clean their wounds, and then there'd be nothing to put them in. So, you know, they're providing with these essential goods, and really it is that sort of labour of love.
Were they also ministering? Were they doing more than the making of the socks and the pyjamas? Were they ministering to the returned soldiers?
Well, they were through parts of the organisation like the VAD, Voluntary Aids. They're sort of quasi-trained nurses. They're trained in first aid. They're the very visible women with in the white dresses with the Red Cross on the bosom. You see them sort of as the sort of the trademark of Red Cross in World War One, and they are working unpaid, they're all volunteers, in convalescent homes and doing that sort of very basic fundamental nursing and a lot of the drudgery, sort of domestic tasks in hospitals as well.
By World War Two, the Red Cross is massive. There's something like, according to your research, and I must say your research was extensive, I don't know how many archives you must have delved into.
Oh, but I tell you, Fran, that's a story for another day.
Exactly.
My goodness, I don't think I'll ever attempt such a task again.
400,000 volunteers in the Second World War, and
yeah.
by and large, they were women.
Yes, I know. It is amazing that up to 95% of the membership were women. So that's almost like one in seven Australian women and girls, because the Junior Red Cross was very important as well by that time. Yeah, I know. And it's what does sort of make women want to join? It's all part of local grassroots community, people helping, and really it became part and parcel of the fabric of Australian society.
It is an extraordinary task, but the message, it's broadened what it does, and its motto for this year is people helping people, which is a wonderful motto. And as you point out, there's most of us will have had our lives touched by the Red Cross in some way, whether it's a bushfire or at war or the blood bank or any kind of emergency, the Red Cross is there.
That's right. I mean, it's interesting how organisations, in order to last as long as, 100 years, they have to adapt and change to society circumstances. And the Red Cross, I think, is a really good example of that. I mean, because, at the beginning of the, when they first started, they were looking at their constituents were returned servicemen and their families. Now, of course, it's other parts of society that are disadvantaged. They've got programs in Indigenous health, Indigenous communities, blood service, and, of course, all the disaster. The natural disasters that they have to deal with. So even though they've changed and adapted, those fundamentals are still the same of wanting to reach out and help people.
Melanie, thank you for this work and thanks for joining us this morning.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Fran. Goodbye.
Professor Melanie Oppenheimer from Flinders University. And The Power of Humanity, 100 Years of Australian Red Cross, is published by HarperCollins. It's out now. It's really beautiful. It's got some of those fabulous old images that, we love so much, but it's in a really extensive history. You're listening to Breakfast. It's 17 to 7.